Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wolf Packers Show. My name's Ethan McDowell, and I am here with Noah Fleischman. It is time for another one of our weekly basketball updates. If this is your first time watching our basketball update show, it's going to go something like this. We're going to talk about everything that happened in the past week, and then we're going to look forward. It's pretty simple, pretty basic. We're going to talk men's and women's basketball because there's a lot of hot button topics to talk about with both programs right now. Some excitement brewing around both teams, and we're going to break it down all over the next half hour or so. Before we do that, I just want to, a couple housekeeping items. We are both writers for thewolfpacker.com. That's NC State's site on the On3 network. So go check it out. We're both covering, both basketball teams. Football recruiting literally never stops. So we're both still covering that. And there's a lot of fun stuff going on right now around NC State athletics. A lot of good momentum. Like we said, around both basketball teams, around the football program, and there's no better place to get the latest news, get the latest analysis than thewolfpacker.com. Right now, it is only $1 to join for your first month of premium access. That includes our message board, premium recruiting scoops, team analysis. When a basketball game ends, guys, we put up a story right at the buzzer, and it's instant analysis right there. Get your thoughts there and then take it over to the message board and share your opinions on what happened. So go check it out. It's only $1 and well worth it in my extremely biased opinion. But let's go ahead and start talking, Noah. Obviously, we are recording this little after noon on Wednesday, and the big topic is NC State's win over Wake Forest. A really just a hard-fought game. Kevin Keats receives a double technical in the first half, gets tossed, and the team responded. They showed a lot of fight. And Noah, you'll talk about, I'm sure, Keats' press conference after the game and how proud he was of his squad for fighting like that. But it was one of those tough wins that you need to win in the ACC. It was a great win at PNC Arena. And Noah, I just wanted to get your initial thoughts on what looked like to me an impressive victory for the Pack.
It was. They, were down 12 in the first half. It was like, okay, like something's got to change. Well, Kevin Keats got ejected. The referees, people like to rip on referees, but it was not a good officiated game, from a, non-biased opinion, just watching a basketball game. It was not a great game to watch with the three guys in stripes. And Kevin Keats wasn't pleased. There was a ton of calls that were going one way, weren't going the other way. And he was riding the officials a little bit. And then Dennis Parker goes up for a layup in the first half toward the end, 3 minutes or so left in the game in the first half. And he gets blatantly fouled and no call. And let's just say the 10 players in the court had to avoid running into Kevin Keats on the court when they were running down the other way. He's standing on the court yelling, and that gets him one technical, and then kept yelling for like literally 30 more seconds and picked up a second one. So he got tossed. Second ejection of the season, which he thinks is the first time he's been ejected more than twice in the season, because he said he only thinks he has 5 ejections in his coaching career. So 2 in 1 year is kind of crazy, but it is what it is. It fired up his team. He left fired up. He continued arguing. Then he walked away, got the crowd amped. The crowd was amped the rest of the night after that. They were on the officials booing every single call, living and dying by the whistle. Made it a really good atmosphere. And then NC State was able to come back and win the game. A 12-2 run kind of turned it around, got them back at 69-69. Then free throw shooting, which was really bad at the start, was really good at the end. I think they finished 20-21 from the line, able to put Wake Forest away late. There was more pushing and shoving and more ejections at the end of the game. But it was kind of, 2 double techs that probably shouldn't have been given. Mohamed Diarra kind of headbutted Hunter Salas, but not really. They kind of lightly touched heads, I would say, but they both got ejected for that. And then Ben Middlebrooks, who was the reason why that whole tussle started, because he got fouled. He picked up a tech and then fouled out. So it is what it is. A lot of fouls. There's 50 fouls in the game, which tells you everything you need to know. Six technicals, three ejections. Crazy. But NC State came out on top in what it was a chaotic game. But I think it shows this team's growth. They've won games by blowing teams out. They've won slugfest, and now they've won a game where the game kept going back and forth and was pretty chaotic.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those where it's a game where it can be pretty euphoric to win a matchup like that. And you saw it in like the post-game celebration. Like the team was fired up for that win, and deservedly so. And man, it sucks to lose a game like that. And you saw Steve Forbes' comments after the game. He was clearly disappointed in the result, obviously, Wake Forest head coach. But yeah, and you do all that, Noah, and you shot the NC State shot 53.7% from the field, right? But they shot 0 of 8 from 3. They did not hit a 3. Our NOAA stats and info department did some research on that this morning, and he found that is over 1,000 matchups between the last time they won a game without making a three-pointer, we believe. So that's pretty staggering. That's pretty impressive and a very notable accomplishment by this team, that they're showing that they can win in adversity. And which is what I wanted to ask about Kevin Keats's comments after the game, Noah, and talking about it was, I believe, the last thing he said coming off of the podium last night, right? He's tired of it. He channeled some of his inner Dave Doran. And for the listeners, for the viewers, explain what that means, Noah.
Yeah, you know, people like Dave Doran's fire, and they like what he says in press conferences, you know, telling Steve Smith to kiss his ass and things like that. People like it. Well, people kept saying that Kevin Keats hadn't done that yet, and that he hadn't, you know, been able to be fired up on the podium and give the fan base a little bit of juice like Dave Doran does, and it gets everyone fired up, gets the team fired up, gets, you know, the fan base fired up, gets the rest of the coaching staff fired up. He, before he left the podium, which, you know, the SID, Craig Campbell was like, all right, let's wrap things up. Keats was like, I want to stay here for 10 more minutes. He was fired up. He was a happy camper. But then he kind of got going. Then he realized, like, oh, I probably should wrap it up. But right before he got off the podium, he said, you know, I'm tired of this blank, man. I'm tired of people talking about how we ain't tough enough. Hey, we're pretty damn tough today, right? I'm not going to go get any bourbon because I don't drink, but it was hell of a night for us. And yes, somebody did ask if NC State's a basketball school. He declined to comment, but he's fired up. It was a good thing to see. And, you know, I think this is a thing that can translate into more wins. I think it sets the tone. I wrote about it last night. I think it sets the tone for NC State in ACC play, where it needs to take care of business. They didn't get any marquee win in non-conference play. Kevin Keats talked about that last night, saying how the media says they don't have a win. Now they have a win over Wake Forest, which looks pretty good.
Yeah,
I think it's going to have to keep rolling. They got Virginia Tech on Saturday. We'll talk about that later. But this is a win that sets the tone. And they're 5-1. They're second place in the ACC. And they're 5-1 in conference play for the first time since 89-90 season, or 88-89, which is the same year they didn't hit a three and still won a game. So that year was a pretty good year, and they're starting to replicate it pretty well right now.
Yeah, and we're not over here saying this team is perfect. Like, going 0 of 8 from 3 is not a good thing, right? Like, you obviously want to hit some of those shots. And there's going to be nights like the UNC game, which we haven't gotten to talk about, and we'll touch on briefly, like, where the shots aren't falling, and that's going to be the reason you lose. Like, the team's lack of consistent outside shooting will lose it some games this season. That's just reality. That's something that NC State fans have to realize, but you should still be encouraged. It really looks like this team is definitely developing its identity. And I think that mid-January, the beginning of ACC play is the time to do that, right? And now if you can build some momentum, get hot, hey, maybe NC State's moving themselves back onto the bubble, and we're talking tournament for them, because this was a good NCAA tournament resume building win, and something that the coaches, players, and fans should all be encouraged by. And before we move on, no, we were talking about this off mic, but I want to address some of the Kevin Keats haters who are using this as an excuse to bash him and say that, oh, the team played so much better after his ejection. That's a compliment, first of all. Like, and it, when a coach gets a technical like that, and Keats admitted to it, it's a calculated thing. There's very rare occasions where the coach is just losing his cool like that. It's a calculated thing. They want to, you know, inject that energy into their team, into the crowd, like which is what happened. And I saw fans using it as an excuse to be like, oh, NC State played like a completely different team when Kevin Keats was in the locker room post-ejection. That wasn't because somehow the game plan magically changed. Like, that's not it. It was the same game plan that Keats helped come up with, help install. Just because he got ejected doesn't mean NC State changed fundamentally as a team. The win that you saw from the Wolfpack was because of the culture, because of the mentality, because of the decisions Kevin Keats made in that game before and during his ejection. So I just had to get that off my chest, Noah. Sorry. But I think it's just important to address that Keats deserves credit, not criticism, for the way things unfolded last night.
Yeah, he energized his team with the ejection. He did say he only thought he didn't get one tech and stay in the game, but you know, the second one he wasn't feeling great. He coached in a mask. Some people think maybe he wanted to go sit in the back and just wasn't feeling good, and he felt a lot better, I think, after the win. But yeah, you know, the last thing I think we should touch on here, and we'll talk about, I think it's a good segue into North Carolina real quick, is they didn't make any threes, but they only took 8. Mm. They've taken 15, 17, 20 in almost every single game this year. And even when the three ball's not falling, they're still taking a lot. Well, I think it showed growth last night where they don't make a three, so they just start dribbling in closer to the basket, get your twos, they add up, and you end up coming out on top. I think it was good growth. They'd rather go 0 from 8 rather than the 2 from 20 that they had a couple of games to go, right? I think that that's a lot better than 2 for 20 against North Carolina. I think that, at least, right? You're going to keep taking them. You're going to make them, right? Odds are they're eventually going to fall. But they were able to adjust and say, you know what? Go inside. They shot 63% inside the arc. That'll win you games. And that's what it did against Wake Forest.
And against a team with like 2 7-footers too, like Wake Forest, it's not like they're any slouch as well. So
did get them in foul trouble. That was part of the plan. They got Efton Reed. Right? Yeah, Efton Reed came out early. You know, he fouled out pretty early in the game. Andrew Carr, who was their leading scorer, he fouled out toward the end. But getting Efton Reed out of the game helped a lot, open up things. You know, without DJ Burns, who was sick for most of the game, I think there's a sickness going around the program. They're finding different ways. Muhammad Diarra and Ben Middlebrooks, probably the two stars of the game, going up against 2 7-footers, and Diarra with 13 rebounds, which I predicted on my three thoughts and a bold prediction, said he was going to grab 13. He grabbed exactly 13, so we'll take it. And then Ben Middlebrooks 5 for 5 from the field. So those two guys, they deserved a little shout out for what they did against two of the tallest players they're going to play against all season.
Awesome. Well, let's look forward here before we go to the break. There's only one game between – oh, wait, no. First, sorry, I skipped ahead. Let's look at the UNC game briefly. I'm sorry, like many NC State fans, trying or have already forgotten about that game. Noah and I were both there. We watched the Wolfpack fall 67-54. They kept it close for most of the game, but it unraveled towards the last couple minutes. NC State did not shoot well. And UNC is a really good team. They're a top 10 program, and they sure as heck earned that win. Harrison Ingram was a problem. He had 19 boards on the night for the Pack, and then, you know, RJ Davis ended up heating up in the second half after both teams were pretty much ice cold in the first. But Noah, is there anything that now about you know, more than a week removed, or is there anything you're keeping in mind, taking away from that game that NC State fans should care about?
I think it was three-point shooting was a concern, but shooting in general was a concern. They had their lowest shooting night of the season. They were able to rebound at Louisville, put up a 50, you know, just above 50% from the field. Again, another night above 50% from the field, even without a no three. So I think that they've been able to grow, right, from this game where they didn't make shots, where sometimes it's basketball, the shot just isn't going to fall. It is what it is, but they've rebounded well. They've shot the ball now consistently well, 2 straight games. We'll see if they can do it for a third. But other than that, it may have just been one of those nights where it's just not your night. And that happens in a sport where you play 30 games in a season, right? That happens in baseball when they play 50 in college or you know, 162 in the MLB. It happens. You can have an off game. It's not the end of the world like it is in football. You lose a game. It's like, okay, well, there's only 12 of those chances to win. There's a lot of chances to win in college basketball, and one off night's not going to kill your season. And so far, we've seen NC State's not let that one off night turn into two and three. They've been able to turn it around, and now they're on a 2-game win streak getting ready for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and in between those home games, like you mentioned, they did hit the road and go to Louisville, and they won that game 89-83. They're leading it by 9 at halftime. In the second half, things got pretty rocky, and it looked like, you know, that could be a game they were going to drop, but they pulled it out. Another tough win, got the stops when they needed to there at the end, and you know, DJ Horn bounced back in a huge way with his 27-point outing, despite coming off the bench because he was 30 seconds late to a team meeting or film review or something like that, right? So, yeah, it's a good win. And like you said, 2-game winning streak going into this matchup against Virginia Tech at home again. Noah, from what you've seen, just any initial thoughts on that matchup?
It's going to be, you know, it's the ACC. Every game's tough. Doesn't matter who they're playing. You know, Virginia Tech's been up and down too. I think it'd be a good game, but for NC State, when you look at the wins and things it's got going, I think it's a game you can't afford to lose right now. If you're NC State trying to put together an NCAA resume, they pick up a quad two win against Wake Forest. This one will also be a quad two opportunity. So you got to kind of rack up these wins so far against quad two opponents. You're 3-0 on the season. It's good to have, especially if these teams can kind of work their way up. Yes, at home it's kind of hard, you know, with Virginia Tech being in the 50s in the net. To be a quad one win at home has to be in the top 30. Mm-hmm. Probably won't see it moving up into that. But quad two wins are still really helpful when it comes around the March. So I think it's a game that you can't afford to lose. They'll be okay if they lose, but it's really one that I think that they need to win.
Yeah, and you look at Virginia Tech's schedule. They beat Louisville by 7. So, you know, close one, kind of the same as NC State. They got boat raced by Wake Forest, 23-point loss on the road there. Then narrow loss to Florida State, blew out Clemson in one of the more surprising results of January, in my opinion. And then lost by 4 to Miami recently. So, like you said, this should be a game they win. I'll go ahead and throw the prediction out there that I think they will defend home court and win that one. I think they have the perimeter defenders to slow down Virginia Tech's guard duo of Sean Padula and Hunter Couture. But I think I'm pretty confident projecting a win there. What about you, Noah?
I am too. You got to slow down Padula. He dropped, I think, career high 33 points against Miami. So he can obviously fill the bucket. But I think NC State has the defenders to do it. You know, Jaden Taylor did not have a great shooting night against Wake Forest, but, you know, he had a big steal late in the game. He's kind of one of those lockdown defenders you put on the team's best player. We'll see him on probably both of them. And DJ Horn's not bad defender either. He's gotten really better. I think he's improved a lot throughout the season defensively as a guard. So we know what they have on the post. Now the guards are really playing well in defense. And State is looking like a good defensive team, especially what we saw them do down the stretch against Wake Forest and able to kind of put that run together and get rolling. So I think they'll win. They're going to be favored at home when the line comes out on Friday, and we'll see what it is. But I think that I'm comfortable saying they'll beat Tech before hitting the road to Virginia, back-to-back Virginia games here, one at PNC and one in Charlottesville.
Absolutely. And before we dive into everything to do with the women's team, I want to say a quick thank you to our sponsor, Game Time. Game Time is a ticket buying and selling marketplace. Whether you're looking for tickets to NC State's next basketball game, a Hurricanes game, a concert, comedy show, pretty much anything you need a ticket for, Game Time has it. You can find Game Time on any app store or on your web browser at gametime.co. That's .co, not .com. And go check it out. You know, tickets right up until puck drop, tip off, the first song of the concert. It's very useful. I'm a big fan. I tend to buy my tickets last minute, so it's pretty much the perfect ticket buying platform for me. And another thing I really appreciate about it is when you go and you look on the app, which I use frequently, It shows you, first of all, cheapest ticket right at the top. I appreciate that. They're not trying to sell me anything other than the cheapest one. And you can see exactly the view from the seat that you'd be sitting in. I'll hold it up for those watching on YouTube. You can see from my phone, if you were sitting in, you know, section 334, row F, you know exactly where you'd be sitting and the view from your seat for the next Hurricanes game. Right now, we have a deal going where if you go on there and it's your first time using Game Time, use code WOLFPACK, all caps WOLFPACK, off for $20 off your first purchase. It's a great deal. Save some money and, you know, help us out a little bit too there. We appreciate it. And go check it out. It's Game Time on any app store or on your web browser at gametime.co. All right, Noah, let's talk Wolfpack women's basketball, the number four team in the country after a brief departure from the top five. The Wolfpack's back in the top five, about where I'd say they should be, around that 4-3-4 range, I think is a good ranking for them. And they rose because they beat the crap out of UVA last week. They absolutely blew them out. It was not close. It was maybe the fastest bucket I've ever seen in a basketball game. Isaiah James took the opening tip off, and I'm not kidding, just sprinted straight to the opposite goal, got a layup to fall, and it was NC State was up 2-0 7 seconds in, and really never slowed down. That was the impressive thing. You've seen the Wolfpack kind of let off the gas at times this season. They definitely did not. Zoe Brooks, who is slotting into the starting lineup with River Baldwin out, had 19 points. That's a career high. 4 steals, 3 assists, and a couple of boards. Hit a three. She just keeps getting better and better. She is one of the best freshmen in the country. Absolutely one of the best in the ACC. And it was just an encouraging win. You know, they held UVA to 32% from the field, and that was with you know, like one hot quarter in there, but the rest of it, it was pretty much just complete dominance. They didn't allow any more than 21 points in a quarter and held them UVA into the teens in every other quarter, while NC State also scored their highest total of the season. If they didn't back off, they would have hit 100 points with ease, but Westmore put the backups in and the scoring pace slowed from there. But Noah, what were your impressions from that? Watching the Wolfpack bounce back from their first loss of the season in a big way.
Yeah, I was curious to see how they would handle a loss, because if you don't, we talked about the men's team, right? You lose a game, you can't let that beat you twice, three times, four times. And they were able to rebound really well against a team they've just seen. I think that might help too. They just played Virginia like 2 weeks before, turn around, play them at home. And it wasn't a game, as you said, they were able to, you know, jump out in front and kept it going. So good win for Westmore and company, back in the top five. It should be number three. I'm going to go out there and say it. Colorado's at number three. Colorado has one loss to NC State. It always boggles my – yeah, by 18 points. It always boggles my mind in the AP poll, men's basketball, women's basketball, football, when there's two teams very comparable. They've played each other. And the team that lost is ahead. It's a more recent win. They did get a good win. I can't remember who they blew out, but they blew out Stanford. So, It was a good win for them. But still, I think you could justify putting NC State at 3 and Colorado at 4. It doesn't matter. It's January. Things happen by the time March rolls around. You know, I think both could be number one seeds. Colorado probably won't be. They'll be a top two, you know, be in the twos. But overall, I think, you know, NC State did a really good job at rebounding from its loss. And was able to move forward and get a good win. And now they're on their bye week.
Yeah, and there's a couple encouraging signs from that game, right? You had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, five players in double figures scoring. And one of those was Lacey Steele, who a freshman guard who's really coming along very quickly. She's improving really fast. She was never like hesitant to shoot this season. But now they're really starting to fall, and you can see that confidence growing rapidly. She had 13 points in this one, 5 of 6 from the field, 3 of 4 from deep. She probably needs to shoot a little bit more if she's shooting that well. But yeah, she had a great game, and she's put it together. I think it's 3 of the past 6 games she has been in double figures. So, you know, if you can start to get that consistent contribution, she's the first player off the bench now Now that River Baldwin's out and Zoe Brooks is in the starting lineup. So they need her to be that level of player. And she's risen to the occasion. That's been great to see. That's a great sign for the Pack because River will be back. River will be back. And she's probably going to miss a few more games based on Wes Moore's timeline that he shared with us. River will probably return, I'd say, in late January. But when she's back, then you have, if you have at that point, Zoe Brooks and Lacey Steele as like, with legitimate ACC experience coming off your bench, it's whew, that's a deep team. That's a deep team right off the bat. And, you never want to say like this River Baldwin's injury is a good thing for the Pack, but they're learning to play without one of the best post players in the ACC. And that's important, whether River gets in foul trouble down the line or, you know, stuff like that. So they're going to grow as a team because of this injury. And when River comes back, it could be scary. It could be scary because River Baldwin was playing at, a career best pace before her injury. And then you look at how they've been shooting behind the arc against UVA. Noah, they shot 43.5% from three. That's not the strength of this team. That is not supposed to be what they're really good at. And I think they'll beat any team in the country. I'll go ahead and say that if they shoot 43% from three, they're going to beat any team. I have a hard time seeing any team beating them because they're so good in every other aspect of the game that if their shots are falling from deep, it's a buzzsaw. It is a Wolfpack buzzsaw that is going to be hard to beat on any given night. So we'll see if that becomes a trend as well as we continue through the ACC schedule. But I don't have that many more takeaways from the UVA game. It was the only game of the week for the Pack. They have their bye week here before resuming action tomorrow, Thursday night against Miami. But they completed the season sweep over UVA. UVA's 0-4 in the conference right now. That's not necessarily going to be a quality win, but it's still good to go in there and leave absolutely no doubt ahead of this matchup against Miami. You look at the Hurricanes. Last year, a really, really good team, made a tournament run. This year, they've struggled a little bit to start conference play. 11-5 overall, 1-4 in the conference. They've lost two in a row, but they are 10-1 at home, Noah. They are a really, really good home team, and they will present NC State with some challenges throughout the matchup. They're going to have to deal with, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name here, Kyla, but Kyla Oldaker, who's a 6'6" sophomore forward, who good player, one of their leading rebounders, and with River Baldwin out, you don't really have anyone in that starting lineup in that top seven that's going to be able to really match up against her height wise. And NC State has, in back-to-back games, given up 20-plus points to post players. So that's the main concern for me, Noah. They do such a good job with everyone around the post players that it hasn't really been a huge issue yet. But, keeping an eye on how they guard Kyla. And, they have more height. They have another forward who's 6'4". So it's a tall team, but we'll see how NC State handles that task. On the road as well, which is always fun, a fun test after they lost their last road matchup. And Noah, do you have any thoughts on that showdown with Miami in Miami?
Yeah, you said they're 10-1 at home, and their only loss was to Louisville to open ACC play. A 5-point loss to a good Louisville team. It shows that Miami can hang, but you look at who they've played. They do have almost a 20-point loss to Baylor, who was number 10 at the time. They did lose almost by more than 20 to Virginia Tech last week. So up and down team. We'll see what they can do against the Pack, who, is another top 10 team they'll see. They're not afraid. They've played, three ranked teams and have played, played Louisville close. We'll see how it goes. But another thing is Miami, lowest scoring team. They're averaging 69.5 points a game. NC State's averaging almost 80. So we'll see if NC State's offense can get rolling, because I think Miami's going to try to lean on its defense, especially with, the balanced attack that NC State has. Six players in double figures that are averaging it. One is not currently playing, but that is most in the NCAA. And then if you see Lacey Steele keep doing her thing. She might get up to, you know, she's at 5 points right now, I think, a game. But if she can keep rolling, that'll be a good sign. And the last thing I had was you talked about shooting three ball for NC State, which is something they haven't done well for most of the year. Well, I think it's not a surprise that when Lacey Steele's hot, the team is getting rolling. I mean, she was 3 for 4, and they had on 40%. That's a good thing to see. And they brought her in to be the shooter. She's kind of showing now that what she was able to do in high school. And I think it might have just been adjusting the college speed and things like that. But she's finally showing what she's able to do. And, man, she's playing like this halfway through her freshman year. I think it's a really good sign for not only the rest of the season, but these freshmen, you know, with her and Zoe Books, of what's to come in the future for NC State women's basketball.
Yeah, and we've mentioned Lacey, but I want to give a couple shout-outs to another couple players. Isaiah James, I feel like she's someone that we probably don't mention enough just because she's so consistently great that maybe we're taking her greatness for granted right now. But she's the team's leading scorer at almost 15 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2.6 assists, and a huge jump in her game this season in her third season of college basketball. Is last season she shot 28.8% from three, and now she's shooting 36.7%, which has such a huge impact beyond just those made threes, because she is so good off the dribble that when teams have to guard her out there, it opens up the offense so much for her. And she's really hard to stop. And when the team goes cold and they need a couple buckets, she's able to go get them. She's having an all ACC year right now, without a doubt. So I want to mention her. And then Madison Hayes, another player who struggled at times from three last year, shot 36.4%. So still, you know, a solid mark. But this year took a huge step forward. And no, she's now hitting 45.8% of her threes. She hasn't quite reached the volume necessary to get on like all the NCAA like leaderboard rankings for that. But if she continues that volume, I mean, at that percentage, at a greater volume, she would be 13th in the nation. So she's one of the better shooters in the ACC right now. And again, another player who can attack off the drive and make plays and is a beneficiary of some of the drive and kick stuff that you get when you have a Zoe Brooks, a Sanaya Rivers, an Isaiah James. So it's we've talked about it, but it seems like every player on the team just took such a huge step forward this year. And you can't say enough about the work and the individual improvement everyone's made to make it such an impressive collective step forward for the Pack this season. As far as, you know, predicting the Miami game, I'll chalk it up as a win. I think it'll be a little closer than people expect. I think Miami will give them a good contest, but I think I'm pretty comfortable projecting it as a win. What about you, Noah?
Same thing here. I think that it might be a little closer, just the fact that NC State hasn't played in a week. They had their little week off. Yes, they've practiced. They got some time to heal their bodies. But I think, you know, maybe a slow start could come around something. I think it'll be close. They should come out the win in Coral Gables, but it might not be the 25-point win that maybe some Wolfpack fans are going to look for.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's all from us, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate your time spending it with the Wolf Packers Show. We'll be back next week. Similar format. Hey, I guess unless news breaks like it did last week. So keep an eye on your YouTube feed if something does come up. But if not, we will see you next Wednesday on the Wolf Packers Show to break down all of the predictions I'm sure we got right and preview what's next. All right. Thank you all for watching and have a great Wednesday.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.